Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? As always, it is your boy Dale Lippin in here with none other than, I mean, for a long time, I mean, the blonde to the other side of me was Trey Van Buskirk. But I mean, if we're going to be honest here, close second place, if not first place all time, is going to be all hail Haley Cowan, who is here right now, right before her Dana White Contender Series debut, which we've been talking about for the better part of 2 years. Haley, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I don't want to bury the lead, but you and I, we've been talking about this moment that is just a mere 6 days away, 7 days away. For the better part of 2 years, I know you've been talking about it obviously for a lot longer, but you and I have been talking about it for the better part of 2 years. I'm over the moon ecstatic for you. As you know, I've been in your corner for a long time cheering for you. How are you feeling?
I feel good. I feel excited. I feel like, you know, you have the camps where at the end you're like, could I have done more? Mm-hmm. You know, did I do enough? Did I do too much? I feel like I really checked every box, like every single box when it comes to recovery, to see, you know, being on the mats with different bodies, being on the mats with people similar to my opponent. I never undertrained. So, you know, I feel like I trained the perfect amount. I didn't tax my body too much, but I did everything I needed to do. So I feel like, you know, at this point, all I have to do is show up, and if it's supposed to be, it's going to happen. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, one of the things you always like to ask somebody is like, what's your preparation been like? What have you been doing? But you and I are in enough contact that I know you literally have always adopted the mantra, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And you've been putting in tons of work. One of the things that you've been doing, though, is you kind of have been seeing some new bodies on the mats and things like that, like you and I have been talking about. If you wouldn't mind, kind of walk me through what it was like getting the call, letting you know what was coming, and then your idea on how to prepare for such an opportunity.
So I've actually had like 20 weeks to prepare for Claudia. Like, I've known who I'm fighting for six months almost. I had knee surgery the first week of March, mm-hmm. and then like a few days after the surgery, I was told who I was fighting on Contenders. We knew I was going to be on it. We just didn't know who. And it was funny because I actually tried to fight Claudia multiple times. I wanted to fight her in LFA and it just never worked out. She's in Brazil. It's hard to, with COVID and everything, it was just hard to, it just never happened. And then when I fought for Invicta, I asked for her too, just maybe they would pay her more if that was the issue. I didn't really know what the issue was before. And it didn't work out. And so I kept telling Jake, I was like, you know what? I have a feeling it's going to be Claudia. And right. He's like, no, no way. And then I got a phone call from my manager and he was like, it's Claudia. It's Claudia Leite. And I was like, yes, that's what I've wanted. I've wanted that fight since 2020. I've been asking for it. So I feel like it was just meant to be.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So with that, I mean, because you've identified her as a potential opponent for so long, is there something about her that you think complements you really well, or something that in her that you see that you can exploit?
I mean, she's really good. Like, right. I have my hands full. I can't like fall asleep at all. I have to be very focused and sharp the entire, like literally from bell to bell. Her wrestling is, I think I've got about 4 or 5 inches on her in height. And I believe my reach might be 6 to 7 inches longer. Right. But because I'm so tall, I have to make sure that I'm not fighting really tall, because her wrestling is really good. And so if I fall in love with standing real tall, she's 100% going to get on my legs, and I'm going to have to deal with that. So I have to be sharp, but I feel like her path to victory, she's got one, and I have many options. So I feel like this is a good, it's a good matchup for me. She's a legitimate opponent. She's really good. The thing about fighting over in Brazil for women, especially, there's not the talent pool that we have. So I feel like I have had a much harder lineup when it comes to opponents than she has. I don't think she's fought the caliber that I've fought. So I think that's going to be a big problem for her, is just the talent, the difference. I'm a much bigger gap compared to the girls that she's fought than she is compared to the girls that I've fought. So
sure. I think that's a fair assessment. So if you wouldn't mind, I mean, I know you said you had the knee surgery, or we mm-hmm. talked about that. And then you got the call for Contender Series, which is something that you and I have been talking about. You know, sort of thinking maybe the UFC call up would be maybe a last minute replacement kind of situation, yeah. Or Contender Series was sort of on the cusp there. What has the Contender Series process been like? Because I've seen you go out and do some media and all that kind of stuff. What has that whole thing sort of looked like for you?
I did not want to do Contenders at all. Like, I was like, no, I will not do Contenders. I'll just keep winning fights and see if I get in, or I'll just pray really hard and do like voodoo dances until somebody gets hurt and they call me.
Right.
And none of that worked. So, you know, they say God's plan is better than ours. And I think it's really funny, because it's just really ironic that this is how this worked out. But I'm kind of glad it did, because I'm seeing how well Contenders winners are doing right now. They're killing it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, every up and coming star is from Contenders. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe this was how, you know, this is just how it's supposed to be for me. But it's been awesome. Like, it was funny, because one of my teammates fought on Contenders in 2019. He lost, but if he hadn't retired, he'd have been back on Contenders the next season. Dana loved him, but
sure.
It's funny, because everything happened really fast for me. Like, they sent me out my medicals immediately. And so they had me doing my medicals and stuff like immediately. And I was like, I don't remember Mondo's being like this. So I'm telling myself, I'm like, oh, they have an opponent for me that's in the UFC, and they're bringing me up early, and that's why they're doing all that. No, they
Right.
But I talked myself into, oh, someone got hurt and they're pulling me up. Nope. They were just getting my stuff done.
I love it. So they brought you out, did the media package, the whole nine. What was that process like? Was it cool? Everybody was friendly. What was that like?
Oh yeah. Everyone was cool. It's funny. Like, they get us in there and like get us out of there. It was like 2 days. It was like, they flew us in, we did the media, and they kicked us on out. I was freaking out, because it was my media shoot was like 16 weeks before the fight. So I was like, I'm fat. I don't show my belly. I don't want to like, but then I got there and everyone was fat. So I was like, okay, cool. Everyone here's fat right now. We're all getting into camp, not coming out of it. So
have you, I mean, I know you've done an excellent job throughout your career, sort of navigating, I mean, for lack of a better word, the hype behind you and who you are. Are you feeling any of that moving into this, you know, next Tuesday, any of that sort of trailing you into the cage?
You know, like, I'm so glad that I'm 30, and I'm so glad that it's happening. Like, I'm getting this opportunity a little bit later, because none of that really matters to me. You know, I had a big college career. I was a big time college athlete, had a lot of hype and, you know, there too. And you get to the point where you don't really notice it anymore. You know, people think you're great, people think you're terrible. That's just kind of the way the cookie crumbles. And I don't know. I'm super competitive. You know, we could pull out a game of Monopoly right now, and I'm going to feel like I need to perform in Monopoly just as well as I need to perform on Tuesday. So
sure.
I think it's just I got lucky, you know. I played high pressure sport from the time I was 5 years old, so I don't really notice.
I got you. So, I mean, you and I spoke after your last Invicta fight, and I mean, obviously, it was a very dominant performance. In your mind's eye, without revealing game plan, how do you see Tuesday night going?
I see it. This is funny because I have, like, I always have ideas of how the fight's going to end.
Sure.
I usually have multiple ideas. I think it's going to end before, I don't think we're going to go into round three.
Okay.
This fight, whoever, I mean, I think we're both very well versed on each other's fighting styles. Whoever makes the first mistake is going to lose a fight.
That's fair.
That's how it's gonna, yeah. Whoever makes the first big, you know, you're gonna make mistakes, but whoever makes the first big mistake is gonna lose a fight. I do, like I said earlier, I do think that I have a bigger arsenal than she does.
Sure.
But she does have a few things that she is very good at. So I just have to be, again, I got to keep her off my legs. She throws really hard leg kicks. I'm a lefty, so I don't know. I've never seen her fight a lefty. That changes the angle of that kick. So I kind of hope she tries to kick me, because she'll probably kick me in the kneecap.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, like, everything she does, it's not going to translate to me. So it's almost like I don't know what she's, you know, she can't. I mean, the double leg on a lefty is so hard because the rear hip is so far away. So I assume she's going to go for the single. But I'm really good at winning to the outside. You know, if I win hard to the outside, she's not going to be able to pick my leg up. So is she going to go for the double, the single? I don't really know. I know she's going to wrestle her butt off. I imagine as soon as the bell rings, she's going to try to wrestle from the beginning to the end. Because I think I have a very clear advantage on the feet. So,
right. So I'm sure you're aware Dana White's been pretty vocal lately about the amount of action and, you know, expectations that he has for people in Contender Series. Obviously, you're going out there to finish every fight that you're in, but having heard the emphasis that he's putting on stuff like that, does that change anything to your game plan? Does that add any fire to you?
No, because for me, even when I win, I could win 30-24 and I would still feel like I lost if I don't get a finish. Like, right. I'm not happy with myself unless I get a finish. And I'm, like, super impatient, so I'm kind of incapable of being in a boring fight because I get really almost to a fault. I get too impatient where I'm going to – it could be 10 seconds in and I'm feeling like nothing's happening and I have to make something happen, whether it's me stepping and, you know, taking a hard right to the dome or me planning one. Like, I'm going to figure out how to make something happen because I get bored. Right. So.
No, I love it. Yeah, I mean, I love the urgency in which you fight. It definitely makes for all action all the time. I did notice, and something you and I were talking about before we got on air here, is that you brought in some new people, or you went rather to some new people this time. And one of which, you know, obviously makes our heart happy. You got some time in with the one and only Miranda Maverick. What was the idea on, like, how did you select the, like, people to spar with, to prepare for this, different camps to visit? How does that process work? And then what were some of your takeaways from that?
So it's kind of a long story. Where I am, like, geographically,
yeah,
there's not any girls. There's right. I have Desiree Yanez, who's one of my training partners. She fights at a lower weight class than me, and I'm kind of big and imposing, and so it's like we were trying to find big, you know, some bodies that are like big game girls who would, you know, go hard, train hard with me in camp when I need it, and then, you know, just be good training partners, because there's times when you need to go. And so for the last, I lost that fight into 2020. I've been around trying to find a place that I felt like a second home, that I could go to in camp. So I could go to for a few weeks there. Everything just clicked. Like, I Miranda, we both enjoy the cerebral aspect of the game. And so a lot of these gyms, these bigger gyms, there's a lot of really good training, but there's not a whole lot of learning. It's a lot right. of like live drilling, live goes, and you leave and you're like, oh wow, I got really good work in it, but then I start thinking of, what did I learn anything really? No, like, you know, what am I better at besides, you know, maybe a little bit more comfortable with different bodies? But and I have gotten the opportunity to work with a lot of great people, and it's been really cool. But in the beginning of 2021, I met Justin Houghton, the Muay Thai coach for Pound for Pound, mm-hmm. which is part of Elevation. I met him at the PI. I was training out there with Andrea, and him and me and my head coach, Jake, we just like really meshed really well. And he's like, you know, you got to come out. I didn't make it out. And then finally after my fight, a year later, we made it out there, and I got to work with Lauren Murphy, Claire Guthrie, Miranda Maverick, Raquel Pennington. I'd just broken her finger, so I didn't get to work with her, or, you know, that nasty hand injury she had. Right. I say broken finger, but it's disgusting. It is so much worse than a broken finger.
Oh, really? It was that bad?
Oh, I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you about it in a second. But yeah, okay. So I got to work with a bunch of girls, and it was like, I met Valor, the Caballero, the jiu-jitsu and grappling coach out there. And I just really felt like, okay, this is a really good group of people that, you know, they're like-minded. They want to train as much as I do. Right. Yeah. So I ended up coming back out there for the second half of my, that was like probably 12 to 13 weeks out. So maybe first ish beginning of camp. And then second half of camp, I went back out there. Everyone was hurt. So me and Miranda worked the whole time, but it was perfect because the girl that I'm fighting is just a little bit taller than Miranda, heavy grappler, you know. So it was like, okay, this is what I need anyways, minus Miranda being a lefty, but whatever.
That's awesome. So, I mean, obviously we're feeling good. Weight, I mean, obviously everybody wants to know weight. Oh,
tell me about Raquel's finger.
Oh, yeah, tell me about the finger. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I think it was either the end of the first round or the beginning of the second round. She hit, who was she fighting?
It wasn't JJ, Aspen? Was it? It was Aspen or JJ? I think it was Aspen.
JJ's out of the same camp, so.
Yeah. So it must have been Aspen. Yeah.
I think it was Aspen, yeah. She said she went back to her corner and her finger felt funky, and she looked down and she couldn't see her finger out of her glove. So she's like she had to dig her finger out and pull. So basically her finger like lodged itself, like this joint lodged itself down into the hand.
I've seen that before.
Surgery number two, maybe second or third. I mean, first or second. I don't know. She's messed up. Yeah. She'll be back. I mean, it's a finger. She'll be back, but it's frustrating because fingers are pretty important.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I've seen that injury before. I was playing a game of pickup basketball one time, and a guy like just too hard of a chest pass.
Oh,
and
basketball would make sense.
And a kid just like he had his fingers just too like out, and it just hit. It was the ring finger too. And it just kind of separated at the knuckle and just kind of pushed it in on side of itself. So it was just
that makes sense. Cause I think a kick hit her. Mm. That would make sense. Same idea. Ugh, yeah.
I have such a phobia about my fingers. It's really weird. Like I can.
Makes you like clench your butt cheeks.
Yes. It definitely does. I'm really kind of weird about my fingers. So, okay. Obviously, you know, I'll just ask you the question that everybody wants to ask. Weight cut feels good. Everything feels good going into Tuesday.
I'm so light right now. Like, I'm like 7 over and I'm a week out. So I don't think I'm going to have to cut a whole lot.
Right.
And I mean, like maybe sit in the steam room, not the sauna. I can't do saunas, but maybe sit in the steam room for like 20 minutes and then probably be on.
Yeah.
I should be good. Yeah. And I start my big water. I mean, I've been water loading, but my big load starts tomorrow. So,
What's your travel itinerary look like? Like what's media obligation, travel, all that stuff for this week?
I don't think we have any, I think we did all of our media obligations earlier. Mm-hmm. So they flew her out today. They don't fly me out until Saturday.
Hmm.
She's in Brazil. So it's like a 12, 13 hour
flight. Yeah, I guess so.
But they still, wanna... that's pretty early.
Yeah. Have you? They
can't be choosers. So
do you do like the thing where do you kind of try to be sneaky, like going into opponent? Like, do you want to know what she's been working at or like
how good she looks? Oh, man, I stalk.
Okay.
Yeah. And I let them see me stalking. I don't care.
What have we found? What's the intel? What do we got?
I think her knee's hurt.
Really?
I think her left knee is hurt. I don't know how bad. I mean, all of our knees hurt.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, everybody's banged up. Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not expecting it to mean anything. But, she's done so much wrestling this camp. I mean, like, she's going to shoot and reshoot and shoot and reshoot and shoot again. Like, there's no way that's not the game. That would be my game plan if I were to fight me. So right. I'm sure that's what she's going to do. She trains a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Like,
she trains with Josiane Nunes. The little short girl. So that's been her main training partner for me. And she's like 5'1".
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She's like 5'1", no neck, throws overhands the whole time. Like that's not you at all.
She's a lefty though. So I mean, yeah, I guess she's got the right leg standing in front. But I was like, that's going to make, you know, the angles of punches are going to be a lot different.
No.
I can literally lift my leg up off the ground and knee you in the face, and she would have to like jump.
Right.
So well, it's going to be, I mean, she's got, I think I was able to find better, probably like more suitable bodies, you know, in comparison to, you know, stylistically.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always matter, you know.
Well, so like I said, you've had hype behind you for a long time now, and justifiably so. Like I said, collegiate career and then professional career and just everything behind you. What has been, has there been any noticeable change as soon as like the UFC Dana White moniker gets attached to the name? Has anything really changed? The phone ringing more, the Instagram blowing up more?
That's been, every time I have a fight come up, the Instagram, you know, blows up. And but I've actually fought in front of Dana already, so that's another advantage.
Right, yeah.
And I did fine. I did what, I mean, again, I'm either going to, I mean, I'm going to go out and do what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter who's watching. It doesn't matter how many people are there. So, you know, I don't think so. I haven't noticed any different. I mean, I'm sure after I win this contract, I'm going to have a lot more followers and stuff. But right. Again, I don't care about any of that. That's just.
That's icing on the cake.
Crap. Like, yeah.
I understand. I mean,
crap in the toilet. You know what?
It's weird. It's one of those things where like in your head, like when you sit down, you're like, that doesn't matter at all, you know? But then sometimes you're like, it kind of does matter a little bit where it's like, you know, it does kind of open a door every once in a while.
So I don't really care about it at all, but Kamzat liked a few of my posts and I kind of fangirled a little. So
yeah.
That was cool. But,
okay. I wasn't going to bring this up, but let's talk about this for a second. Oh. You already know what I'm going to say. What's up with Sean Strickland? What is going on with this dude?
You know, so I met Sean. When did I meet him? Probably a year. Okay. So when I went out and trained with Melissa Croden. So
yeah.
When was that? A year and a half ago, probably. He was
at the SNS. No. Yeah. Was it that far? Was it that long?
Year and a half ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 2021, the beginning of 2021.
Okay. All right.
So I met Melissa Croden. Me and Melissa, the Canadian girl, got real close, became good friends. And he was kind of, John Wood was with JoJo. JoJo had a fight. And so he was like basically taking care of Melissa. He was driving her around, you know, and she was training with me a lot that week. We met one day and then just trained together the whole time. It was just like, it was a really good matchup. So he was carting her around and everything. And like, he gives everyone so much crap and I just like, didn't care. So yeah. I think it made me intriguing to him. And then we just became friends. And I don't know. I feel like he's a really good friend of mine. Like,
yeah,
it's just really funny because we're polar opposites.
That's as soon as like, I saw your name pop up on his feed. I was like, what is happening? Wait a second. What is going on here?
No, he's cool, man. And I don't know. He is exactly what he is.
Yeah.
But he's actually a good guy.
I'm sure. Yeah.
He really is. Like, I don't know. He's.
he's a character, right? So.
He's a character, man. But that's like 100% who he is. Like, he always makes fun of me and like, because I like journal and stuff and I obviously love Jesus. And so he's always like telling me he's going to send me like kids. Coloring book Bibles and all this stuff. And I'm like, send them.
Yeah. I had this very strange theory about him. I don't know. I think I may have told you this before, but when he used to fight at 170, and he had
have you seen him in person?
I have not seen him in person, but he looks like a large man. So
his ankles are like this thick. I don't know how he did that. But anyway,
well, his ankles might be that thick because of the leg injury now. Like, he probably just doesn't have, like, the circulation.
Yeah. They're both that big. So. That's the first thing I noticed. I was like, dude, his legs are the same size all the way down.
It might be congestive heart failure. I don't know. So
but anyway, sorry.
No, it's okay. So when he was at 170 and had, like, the shaved head and did all that stuff, like, when he used to come out and fight, like, he would never talk, like, even after a win, it was always, like, very quiet. And I thought he was, like, this weird, like, Rain Man, idiot, savant kind of dude. Like, this, like, real cerebral sort of fighter. And then he gets hurt, comes back, he's at 185. And it's like somebody just told him, like, hey, Sean, you know you're allowed to talk, right? And then the moment he started talking.
They should not have told him that.
Right, exactly. Now he just talks nonstop. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I could not have had this more wrong. You know what I mean? So he's such a character. I mean, I would love to sit down and just completely you know, chop it up with him. So
you, he's a funny guy, and he's really easy to talk to. Okay. So like, so we were at the PI, I was training with Andrea. Andrea's jiu-jitsu coach was out there, and her jiu-jitsu coach is, he's huge. He's like 6'5", big dude. And he's legitimate black belt. And he's like, man, I wish I could, you know, had someone to roll with. And Sean was there because Melissa was with us. And Sean was like, I think I've got some gym clothes in the car. And so he goes out and gets his clothes and comes back. And he's like, by the way, I am a black belt, but I'm probably going to like rape choke you and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
We were like, what?
Like, you could have just stopped at black belt. You didn't have to go further than that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to do, you know, I'm not going to like roll for your legs or anything, but I probably will like grab your neck and stuff. And
oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. All right. So we've got a big week coming up. I see you water loading already. We're getting water in.
Yeah.
I know we're training, we're training hard. I want to give you, I want to be respectful of your time as always. And then, you know, realistically, people don't understand that, you know, I message you on the side anyway, and you and I talk, but this is, I mean this with all sincerity. You and I have been talking for the better part of 2+ years now. I feel confident in saying the fact that I view you as a friend at this point. I'm extremely happy and excited for this opportunity for you. I appreciate you giving me so much time so close to the fight. I know this is, you know, the culmination of a lifetime of hard work, and this is a good opportunity for you. I'm super pumped for you. I'm pumped for Jake. I'm pumped for your team and what this means for you guys. I appreciate you coming on, and you know, I know you've got a whole slew of new sponsors and people that are rooting for you. So, you know, I want to give you the floor to say what you want to say before we lead into Tuesday night.
Yeah. So, over the past probably almost maybe a year and a half, I've been doing a lot of like lung training with a company called, it's a brand new company called Be Boundless. Roxanne owns it. She's been awesome. It's helped me a ton. I can go train in Colorado after being at like sea level and, you know, not have any issues. So that's been awesome. I've got Lone Star Truck Group. They've been with me for quite some time now. The Corleys are amazing. And Jason Farmer's Livestock. He's great. Oh, Birkwood Farms, by the way. Have you eaten their pork?
I have a conflict of interest because I'm sponsored by a meat company. So it's a conflict of interest. So, I mean, I would listen, Stay Classy Meats.
Okay. I mean,
listen, I'm not opposed to any dead animal, so I will eat all of them. I just, you know, it's one of those things, but anyway, go ahead. Birkwood Farms.
You have to get the pork chops. They're so good. And RecTech, they sent me an awesome grill.
I know. What's okay.
Yeah. All right. You should get a hold of them.
So here's what I've been meaning to, you know, obviously with preparing for a fight, I didn't want to talk about food with you too much, but now
I eat so much right now. I eat pretty much up into the,
well, now that I know the weight's good. So we'll start sending some. I don't have a RecTech. I have a Traeger, but again, same concept, same pellet grill style thing. I'll start sending you some of my stuff. Anybody that knows me knows that if there's one thing I do really well, two things I do really well, I talk and I cook. So
are you carnivore?
Well, I eat a lot of dead animals. So we're good. I eat a lot of meat.
I'd say I'm 80-20 carnivore.
Yeah. That seems fair. I had broccoli the other night. I had a piece of apple pie earlier tonight as well. And then, yeah.
Yeah, I ate some grapes earlier. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, it's closer. All right. So RecTech, anybody else?
There's so many.
Yeah, I know.
People have helped me, you know, throughout this whole process. I'm working on a few right now that I'm really excited about, but I can't say yet. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear all the same. And then you're selling shirts right now too, right? You got shirts.
Oh yeah. You can get through my page. If you go on my Instagram and just type what size you want, you'll get a direct message and we'll get all your info and we'll get them sent out. They're awesome.
Okay. Okay. I believe you. I believe you. I'll have to get one. As always, I appreciate you. And I, you know, obviously we'll be rooting for you on Tuesday night, and then I'll be in contact with, you know, you'll have the congratulations DM. I have it queued up sitting in the drafts. You know, I'll just go ahead and send it after the fact, but no, seriously, Haley, I'm pumped for you. You know, when we were just starting this thing out, you were one of the first people that said yes to us. Yes to me. And that means more to than you could ever know. So I appreciate that tenfold, and I wish you nothing but luck and success on Tuesday. I'm excited to be your friend. I'm excited to be on Team All Hail. And I can't wait to talk to you after Tuesday.
Thank you so much. It's going to be a good night.
Yes, absolutely. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Man, I tell you what, you know what, this, as I get older, right? As I get older, I feel like I get softer as I get older. I start to feel a certain type of way about things, you know, and I don't know, man. I don't know. It's cool to meet genuine people. It's cool to meet people that have your, interests in mind, people that you can associate and connect with on a level that may or may not be, you know, clearly I've never met Haley in person, but you know, through text messages and DMs and all that kind of stuff, you get a general feel for how a person is, and you find yourself wishing success on people, based on who they are as a person and what they've done and what they're about, from maybe whether it's a value point or a conviction standpoint. So, you know, I could message a million different athletes, you know, part of the UFC and Zuffa banner and say, hey, come on the show, this, that, and the other, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I like who they are or I agree with who they are. And, you know, it seems like a strange thing, to say, you know, hey, we're going after, you know, we're going to have Drew Dober on, we're going to have Haley Cowan on, we're going to have Miranda Maverick on, we're going to have Calvin Kattar on, whatever the case may be. The reason why those people come on the show and the reason why you see them more than once is because of who they are outside of the cage, because who they are outside of that. So it's a real thing. Like, it's a real, I appreciate you. It, you know what I mean? Not everybody has to say yes, but the people that do, and you know, we align with, like, I mean, I've interviewed quite a few people in the UFC and in the MMA and Bellator, it's just anything in this space. Right. And there are certain people I dig and get along with, on a very real level. So I wish it's not just lip service. I wish Haley, and her fiance Jake and their team just infinite success. And I genuinely think, she has the skill to be what she says she's going to be one day, which is champion. That's not BS. I mean, she's got the size, she's got the speed, she's got the hands, she's got wrestling, she's got cardio. Just got to get the reps in, got to get the experience, one win at a time, chip away and see what we can do. I mean, you're looking at a person that has the potential to be a contender, to make an impact in the sport. So I'm excited, man. Like, I really hitch the punch list wagon to the Haley Cowan rocket, please, and thank you. So, all right, let's break down. We have a huge card this weekend. UFC San Diego takes place this weekend, headlined by Marlon Chito Vera and Dominic Cruz. We're going to break this down. We're going to break this whole thing down. But before we do, I want to give a shout out to our show sponsors, AllegianceClothing.com. If you go to AllegianceClothing.com and you use promo code Punch, you can save 15% site wide. And that's premium American made, veteran owned fabrics, designs, the whole nine. Flip side of that, if you want to fuel your body, you want to do so with the best and leanest meat on the planet Earth, you can go to stayclassymeats.com. You can use promo code FIST and you save 10%. I got a couple messages this last week of those of you that are finally pulling the trigger and trying the meat from Stay Classy. And for that, I want to say thank you. And I've said it before and I will say it again. This is not a Stay Classy thing. If you get Stay Classy meats and don't like what you get, I'll give you your money back. It's not even a Stay Classy thing. I'll do it. I'm that confident in their stuff. I love Stay Classy. I love Scott and the team there and what they're doing. I freaking love those guys. I really genuinely do. Those are my people. So, you know, Scott at Stay Classy, Roy at Allegiance. I love those guys. They're good people running good companies. And again, we could do the Manscaped thing, right? Like, we did Manscaped before. Manscaped's hit us up since and said, you know, hey, we want to run ads with you. But you know what you don't hear me do? You don't hear me read Manscaped ads. You know why? Because they burnt us last time. They burnt me. And if you do things in a slime ball capacity, I don't mess with you. If you're If you're not on the up and up, or I don't use your product personally, or I wouldn't feel confident recommending it to anybody else, you're not my thing, right? I don't want to talk to you as a guest if you're not good people. I don't want to push your product if it's not good products. I don't need it that bad, to be honest with you. I don't need it. It just doesn't matter to me. All right, before we break down this fight, these fights this Saturday, I want to go ahead and give a shout out. I did it at the end of the last episode, but we're going to try something different this time. I'm going to give top countries of last episode. Those of you that tuned into the episode with Drew Dober, where we talked about him after it, or we talked with him after his fight with Rafael Alves. So let's break down where the top downloads came from for that episode. Give me one second here. I'm pulling that up. And let's see here. Analytics. Okay. Awesome. All right. So analytics from the last episode, top countries: the US, Canada, Australia, the UK, New Zealand, Italy, Germany, India, France, Spain, Bosnia, Kenya, Greece, the Netherlands, South Africa, Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, Kuwait, Argentina, Norway, the Czech Republic, and Nicaragua making an appearance on there. Thank you for everybody that tuned in to the last episode with Drew Dober. I appreciate that. If you listen to it audio-wise, thank you. If you watched it on YouTube, thank you as well. The new subscribers on YouTube, I appreciate you guys tenfold, and everybody else that subscribes to the show. Okay, so let's talk about last week real quick. Vicente Luque apparently does not know how to fight against a southpaw, right? That's a new thing that happened. Excuse me. So I was in on Luque, right? Everybody knows this at this point. I was in on a big, that was a big L. Here's my thing about this, right? Here's my thing about the Luque Jeff Neal situation. If you were on Jeff Neal, it can be one of four things, right? One, you're a contrarian and you wanted to fade me, or you just didn't want to go with the populace and wanted to play a live underdog because he's got punching power. It's fine. No problem with that at all. Two, you were banking on somehow Bilal Muhammad's win over Vicente Luque equating to, because he got wrestle banged his last fight, he was somehow going to get outstruck his next fight and drop two in a row. And you're betting on a thing that he's never done in his entire career. Three, you were betting on Jeff Neal having the performance of a lifetime. You thought Jeff Neal's going to come out and he's going to look the best he's ever looked, and he's going to do so against a guy that's been widely considered to be one of the most well-rounded, steady, consistent, even keel mixed martial artists in the last 5 years. You were betting on that to happen. Or four, you're friends with Jeff Neal, or you train with him, or you just love Saud or something like that. It had to be one of the four things. I don't know how anybody's sitting there analytically looking at that fight going, Jeff Neal's going to win this, and he's going to do so. He's going to become the first person to knock out Vicente Luque. He's going to be the first one to do it. I feel confident in that. If that is you, I will give you the logins for this. You can have all this. I want to know how you knew that, how you said Jeff Neal is going to have the performance of a lifetime while Vicente Luque is going to have one of the worst performances of a lifetime. He's going to do so against the southpaw, and then he's going to get knocked out for the first time in his career. If that's you, and you have the analytics behind it, I tip my hat to you. I have no idea how that happens. I just, on paper, Vicente Luque wins that fight 7 out of 10 times. I'm lost. Anyway. Okay. I digress. All right, let's get after this. First fight on the main card, Jake. Do you know what, is it the Yasmin? I believe is the first fight on the main card. They've been switching stuff around so much on this thing, man. I don't know what's what anymore. I can't keep my head from my head. Yeah, it's Yasmin versus Yasmin. Lucinda, Yasmin with a Y -185, Yasmin with an I +159, overrunner rounds at 2.5. And we here's the thing. I'm gonna stick true to it, right? So last week I put on the slip, when I made the slip, Stephanie Egger was an underdog, right? She was an underdog. Come fight time, Myra Bueno Silva was an underdog. Myra Bueno Silva won. Now, if I don't know who saw the tap. Did anybody see the tap? Did the tap happen? Was it a Brazilian tap? Like, what was the, I don't, what happened there, right? Anyway, but Myra, underdog, women's science, that hit. Now, I was on the wrong side of it. I thought Egger was, you know, at the time I placed the bet, was going to end up being the underdog. It's not the case. Myra Bueno Silva ended up being the underdog. So, women's science reigns supreme. I am going to take Yasmin Lucindo here because there's, I'm going to fade women's science at another point in time in this card, and it's not here, right? So if you're on Lucindo, you're talking about a girl that's won 7 in a row. She's got a high finish rate, very high finish rate. If you're looking at her, she's 13-4. 8 of her wins have come by KO, TKO, 2 of which have come by submission. So she's finished 10 out of her 13 wins via finish, which is, hold on a second. Jake just sent me a text. He's got to roll. All right, buddy. Yeah, Jake, if you got to go ahead and roll, man. I got you. And then if you're looking at Yasmin, yes, Yasmin with a Y, she does have, indeed, she is undefeated. So obviously 8-0 there. Another high stoppage percentage. 6 out of her 8s have come inside the distance. Now, normally when I think about a fight like this where we've got women and we've got women that like to finish fights, I don't know, man. It usually means that we're going to get some sort of stalemate. But. We've had very violent UFC cards lately. Very violent cards. Outside of the last UFC London card, which we didn't have a ton of finishes on, but this last one, which we had all finishes, and then we're in front of a live audience again. Anytime we've got the live audience, the finish rate goes up. So I'm going to bet Yasmin with an I at underdog money to start, and then I'll be looking to tack on an inside the distance play as the fight progresses, or I'm sorry, as we get closer to the fight, if the finish rate remains high. So we've got the first fight of the main card. We've got 7 fights, I think, before this one. If there's a high percentage of finishes in this, if the crowd is into it, if everybody's hyped up and ready to go, there's bloodshed, everybody's ramped up, I will be looking at an inside the distance play. Until then, I'm looking at just Yasmin with an I at plus money because women's underdog. Why not? Women's science. Yes, I hear you. We need to make the shirt. I'm on it. Just give me time. I will figure out. I've been talking to Roy about it. Look, man, not everybody operates with the same sense of urgency as other people. You know what I mean? I don't have a way to do anything more than what I'm currently doing, unless I want to go outside of the Allegiance umbrella, which, you know, at this point in time in the game with where we're at, I just feel like that would probably be really damn disrespectful. That being said, if anybody's watching Dana White Contender Series now, or you hop in after it's over, please let me know whether or not Bo Nickel wins. Bo Nickel, obviously, getting ready to fight minus 4,000, the largest favorite in UFC Zuffa history, is fighting tonight, which I feel like it's worth a small sprinkle on his opponent just based on the fact that just it's ludicrous for a guy with one professional win. Really kind of ludicrous. All right, so the bout order is a little bit mixed up. The main card opener is actually supposed to be Cynthia Calvillo versus Nina Nunes. This is a rebook of something we saw earlier. I think, was it Nina that got sick and we had to rebook the fight? No big deal. Here we are now. Cynthia Calvillo, Nina Nunes. Let's go ahead and get these odds pulled up. Calvillo is popping it at a minus 172. Nunes at a minus 147. Over under rounds at 2.5. You can say, all right, well, let's go ahead and take Nina at the plus 147. I'm on Cynthia most times. If Amanda Nunes had lost to Juliana Pena, I would be all over Cynthia Calvillo here. But I'm going to ride the momentum a little bit and take Nina. She's well-rounded. Where Calvillo's got she's got the grappling, right? She's got the grappling, she's got the submission skills, but Nina's got, she just does everything kind of okay, right? And in women's fighting, a lot of times doing everything okay is enough to win quite a few fights. And if you look at a person like Nina Nunes, professional record, you know, she's 10-7. So she's got an above 500 record for just basically being pretty okay at everything, right? Lost to Mackenzie Dern, lost to Tatiana Suarez, which immediately sets up the red flag. I'm going, Dale, she doesn't do good against grapplers, right? She doesn't do good against grapplers. So Cynthia Calvillo, on the other hand, you know, can definitely grapple, definitely is pause for concern there. But if you're looking at the Cynthia Calvillo side, she's lost three in a row, right? She's lost to Caitlin Chookagian. She's lost to Jessica Andrade. She lost to Andrea Lee. You know, her last win was against Jessica I. She's not exactly setting the world on fire, right? Jessica wins over Jessica I, Courtney Casey, and Pollyanna Botelho. It's not enough to get real excited about. So if you're sitting here and you're feeling confident on the Calvillo side, it has to be because Nina Nunes has historically not done well with wrestlers. Outside of that, though, I mean, I think she's worth a play. I think she's worth a tiny little play here. It's plus money on women. Why not? So I don't know. I'm looking at it. I'll go ahead and do that. Devin Clark versus Azamat Mirzakhanov. Mirzakhanov at 11-0. Devin Clark at 13-6. Now, this fight is one of the ones that kind of has me scratching my head a little bit, right? I see Devin Clark at a plus 135 taking on Azamat Mirzakhanov at minus 155 with the over-under on 2.5. And you think Azamat, and you think his last win over, was that over Tefon and Jekwe? If I'm not mistaken, hold on a second. Let me make sure. I think that's who it was over. Went over Tefon, the Don, and Jekwe. If I believe that's... Might to believe that to be correct. It was. Okay. Now, if you're looking at that fight, before the flying knee in the third round, didn't look particularly great going into that, right? Like, it was not like, oh my gosh, this is a double Z, double V Caucasus Mountain Warrior, right? He's not lighting the world on fire. You're not feeling super great about this, but now he's fighting Devin Clark. Devin Clark, obviously, with a wrestle heavy style, loves to duck that head down. I don't want to say cardio issues, but he tends to fade at times. But I think he's definitely going to be the stronger of the two. I don't know how long it lasts. Team Elevation, feeling pretty good right now. I don't know if a win over Tefon and Jekwe makes you a favorite over Devin Clark. Devin Clark is so hit and miss for me, to be honest with you. If I'm looking at this fight as something I'm going to play, it's probably dog or pass. I don't love the idea of playing Azamat like with high confidence. You know, maybe if you play him small sprinkle, but Devin Clark's wins in the UFC, William Knight, Alonzo Menafield, Daquan Townsend, Darko Stosic, Mike Rodriguez, Jake Collier, Josh Stansberry. He's really only kind of lost to good, like really good people. I would argue that the worst loss he has in the UFC is probably Iwan Kutalaba, right? Other losses, Ryan Spans is worth his worst loss. But lost to Kutalaba, Anthony Smith, Span, Rokic, and Jan Blachowicz. I mean, he's not losing to bad guys. He's losing to contenders and champions, title challengers. I'm maybe small flyer on my man Devin Clark here. Yeah, maybe small. Not nothing crazy. To me, this fight is dog or pass. I won't argue the merits of a Caucus Mountain Warrior play. I won't do that, obviously, because you know I love me some Caucus Mountains. I really do. I just don't. That Azamat Mirzakhanov performance against Tafon and Jekwe, I just didn't love it. It just did not scream to me high confidence Caucus. I didn't love it. Maybe he just had a bad night. Maybe it was octagon jitters. Maybe he just needed to shake it out. And maybe we're just going to get in front of a crowd. We're going to feel the thunder. And Devin Clark's going to take a stupid shot at a single leg. And we're going to pop that knee up. Or we're going to use that looping right hand. And we're going to fucking sleep. Maybe. Maybe. It's possible. I don't want to say it in high confidence. Maybe under 2.5. These are light heavyweights. Let them bang, bro. Let's do under 2.5. I can get after it. What's that? Under 2.5. These wild men. These big ass dudes. Fucking big boys, right? Imagine having to cut weight to make 205 pounds. Imagine being so big that you got to water load, eat right, and then drain your body to near death to make 205 pounds. Oh my gosh. Unbelievable. I can't imagine. That's a big boy. It's a big boy, right? Let me see here. Under 2.5, minus 130. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's let the big boys rumble. Rumble, young man, rumble. Okay. Earmark it. If the finish rate's high, we're gonna play it. If the finish rate's high, we're on it. We're on it, man. We're on it. Okay. All right, let's get after this a little bit more. We did Devin Clark. We did Cynthia. We did the Yasmin. Co-main event of the evening, Nate Landwehr at 15-4, taking on David Onama at 10-1. Boy, I'll tell you what. It's weird. Only in 2022, where we've got a fight card every weekend, does it make sense to have this be a co-main event of the evening, if I'm being honest with you. This is not something that really checks my co-main event of the evening spot, but here we are all the same. Landwehr to plus 250, Onama to minus 300, over and around is 1.5. Onama, we just saw not too long ago, right? We saw him take on Garrett Armfield, and you know that was a couple weeks ago. To be honest with you, Armfield kind of gave him a little bit of the business, right? He kind of gave him a little bit of the business. He kind of took it to him a little bit, right? Now I don't know if, I mean, Garrett obviously came in and was very durable, but he made David Onama work for every bit of that. And one of the things I like about Nate Landwehr is he does make you work for it, right? Like he makes you work for every single thing that you get inside the cage. Now, losses to Herbert Burns, losses to Julian Erosa, wins over Ludovic Klein and Darren Elkins in a fight that I thought Elkins won, right? So if in my mind, in the way I'm looking at Nate Landwehr's UFC career, he's 3-1 with a win over Ludovic Klein. That being said, I don't love the price of minus 300 on Onama. So I would be looking at Onama inside the distance. The only way that I think that Landwehr really survives this is by a wrestle heavy approach, right? He's got to come out and he's got to put a hell of a pace on him. Onama by TKO KO plus 175. So that's what I'm looking at. Onama's got a penchant for finishing fights. I'm going to ride the momentum of him finishing just a little bit more. I'm taking by TKO at plus 175. If I see a TKO submission prop come in later in the week that's somewhere around the plus 125 spot, I'll probably end up playing that just to give myself that extra added little sauce in order to play this. Okay. Marlon Chito Vera taking on Dominic Cruz in our main event. Dominic Cruz 24-3. Marlon Chito Vera at 19-7. Some will call, John Anik included, Dominic Cruz the bantamweight goat. And he's taking on Marlon Chito Vera this weekend in our main event. That being said, when we look at the odds for this, your boy Dominic Cruz, despite being the bantamweight goat, according to some, plus 185 on Chito Vera coming back at minus 220, which I think is a wildly generous line on Chito Vera. I am not a Chito Vera hater at all. You guys know this. I love playing Chito Vera. And the only time I have faded Chito Vera is against Frankie Edgar. And to my credit, Frankie Edgar was up on the scorecards before he got his chin kicked into his nose. Frankie Edgar, if he could have survived the third round, was going to win that fight. Chito is a slow starter. We know this. We know he's a slow starter, right? That's the narrative that you'll hear all week, is that can he get started early enough? And then if he can't, how's he going to do against Dom Cruz, who we know can go five rounds? We know Chito can go five rounds. We remember the Rob Font fight. He came on strong at the very end. So we have two guys that are going to get stronger as the fight goes on, but Dom Cruz can get started earlier. So my concern would be is that Chito is going to give up, willingly or unwillingly, the first two rounds. Outside of a big moment, Dom Cruz was probably going to win the first two rounds. This fight will be won or lost with a close third round and then 4 and 5. Over-under on rounds 4.5 is justifiably so. I see this fight going to decision. Well, Dale, you're saying it's 25 minutes. The minute in between, that's fucking 30 minutes in a cage, man. A dude's playing punch face and breathing heavy. That's a long time. I agree. I think it's more likely that Chito finishes Dom Cruz than it is Dom Cruz finishes Chito Vera. And that being said, I'm going to lean one last time on Dominic Cruz at plus 185. I deal, this is bullshit. Chito Vera's he's been so good. He's so consistent. He's well-rounded. He's got long legs. He's got good jiu-jitsu. He's gets stronger. He's got the swag. Everybody's loving these. Everybody's on the Chito train. I 100% hear you. I agree. Dominic Cruz is 24-3, has only fought the best in the game, has only lost to the greatest, some of the greatest to ever do it. If Chito wins, it puts himself in rarefied air in that regard, but he's got a win to do it. So why not take a guy with 27 fights worth of experience, 24 of which he has won, and a wealth of championship and five-round experience. I mean, the guy's been winning championship five-round fights since probably most of you were in high school. He's been doing it up big. I don't love the minus 225 on him. I just don't love it. And I don't see how you play him by the finish. You take Chito by decision, but gosh, you better. I mean, imagine taking Chito by decision and then being mad if he knocks out Dominic Cruz. Oh, why would you do that? No. Dog or pass. Take Dominic Cruz. Why not? Just fucking let her rip. 24-3. The bantamweight, according to some, the bantamweight goat. You could do worse. Over 4.5. I mean, gosh, it's such a weird thing to sit there and hope to, and watch. I hate betting overs because then you're literally watching a fight hoping nothing exciting happens, right? Over 4.5 is at minus 210. UFC Vegas, everybody's really hoping this fight goes over. They're really hoping it goes over. What are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? I'm on Dominic Cruz here. I'm gonna lean once more into the weird, funky footwork. That being said, much will be said about the unorthodox style, the footwork of Dominic Cruz, this, that, and the other. I believe the cat's out of the bag. I believe people know how to figure that shit out. I don't think it's nearly as effective as he thinks it is, or as people believe it to be anymore. Chito will stand there. Chito will try to chop the legs. I don't love Dominic Cruz's striking style. I personally don't particularly care for Dominic Cruz's style at all. Like, I really don't. And it's almost enough to make me not bet him ever. But, dude, he finds a way to win, which is just wildly. Like, when you don't like the way someone fights and they find a way to win, it's frustrating, right? Like, it is frustrating to watch. If you don't think that the whole in-out, shift stance, head down, loop overhand, switch, lift, head down, loop left hand, like, think if that's not your speed, he's incredibly frustrating to watch because you're like, who is this ice skating crackhead and how does he win fights? Like, how is this possible? He finds a way to do it though. He finds a way to win. It's tough to take down, tough to keep down, finds a way to hit you when you don't want to be. If Chito can cut him, if Chito can make Dominic Cruz bleed, he becomes like Elevation Cain Velasquez. Something about the blood coming out of Dominic Cruz just shuts him down. So if we see a cut at any point in time, something to pay attention to. I'll lean initially on Dom Cruz at +185, but I don't love it just yet. We'll have to wait for the slip on. Saturday. The more I talk about it, I'm kind of walking my way to Chito, but I can't, that -220 is yikes. Yikes. All right. Ariana Lipsky versus Priscilla Cachoeira. This was a fight that was originally booked for last weekend, but here we are now. It's taking place this weekend. UFC San Diego. I was initially going to be on Lipsky, right? It's going to be on Lipsky, mostly because we have proximity in our last name. It's really kind of it. There's no science behind the Lipsky play. That being said, I've got women's favorites that I want to play this weekend, and you guys already know who it is, and it's not going to be Ariana Lipsky. It's going to take her last weekend. She's coming in at -190 here. Priscilla Cachoeira +165, over under rounds at 2.5. Priscilla, prone to being submitted. Ariana Lipsky can get that submission win. But if it stays standing, I like Priscilla Cachoeira to come in later on in the fight and get that W. If it stays standing. As weird as it is, the queen of violence's way to victory is a submission here. She should not stand and bang with Priscilla. She should not do it. My other concern with Priscilla is if she comes in with some stupid hairstyle where it's all dyed and shaved and twisted and braided and shit, every time she does anything other than just her normal like battle braids, she gets beat. I hate it when she switches her hair up and comes out with those weird colors and shit. It throws it off. It throws everything off. Anytime you come out with your hair dyed some dumb color, you deserve to lose. So that way you can look dumb and lose a fight at the same time. So hopefully she comes out looking semi-normal as much as Priscilla Cachoeira can look. And I'll take a small play here. It's women's underdog. I'm going to play them every time. +165, Ariana Lipsky -190. Smart, dumb, indifferent. I don't care. I'm taking her. I'm going to take her. You can't tell me otherwise. All right. Yusuf Zalal taking on Damon Blackshear. Blackshear at 12-4. Yusuf Zalal at 10-5. Do you guys remember... Oh, so many moons ago when Yusuf Zalal was like, ooh, look at Yusuf Zalal. Like, there was like a little period of time where Yusuf Zalal took a bunch of fights in a hurry and he was winning. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, Yusuf Zalal, prospect to watch out for. That's the dude right there, right? Like, came in. Austin Linga, Jordan Griffin, Peter Barrett, boom, 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 right? Like in a matter of 6 months, won 3 fights, just boom, 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 right? Just knocked them all out. Then what happens? Oh, here comes a step up in competition. Ilya Topuria, Sewu Choi, Sean Woodson, and now we're losing fights, right? Now we're losing fights. Yusuf Zalal lost 3 in a row. Probably, honestly, fighting for his job. Taking on Damon Blackshear here. Blackshear, no joke, right? CFFC. He's that dude fighting, you know, out of the Northeast, nothing but tough people, you know, hard-nosed blue collar people coming out of there. Losses, to Pat Sabatini and Danny Sabatello, lost to Chris Montino and Keith Richardson. He's got losses to quality opponents here. He really does. He is a slight underdog against Yusuf Zalal. So the creativity and the cardio of Zalal leans into this, but the wrestling and the well-roundedness of Damon Blackshear could pay dividends. I think he's a worthwhile dog. Like, we're talking about dogs that'll fight for your money. Blackshear's a dog that'll fight for your money. Now, is he a big dog? Nah, obviously not. You're getting him at near even money. So you're going to be super happy to play him? Probably not. Probably not. Maybe you want to take Yusuf Zalal. I can't be mad at you for that. But I like Damon Blackshear, and I like I like the opportunity that he's going to present there. He's faced good opportunity. I mean, he's faced good competition, right? And then, you know, of his, of his 12 wins, 9 of which have come via finish, right? And he's got a great submission game. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully we don't get octagon jitters. We'll see what happens. This may show up on my card. I'm probably not going to be one that I feel that I play with high confidence. All right. Odey Osborne taking on Tyson Nam. Tyson Nam at 20-12. Odey Osborne at 11-4. This card has potential to be one that's all action packed. And this is a fight that we get that tight or Tyson Nam is a big underdog here. +210. Odey Osborne at -245. Over and around is a 2.5. I don't know who's watching that and going, damn, Odey Osborne -245. That's a steal, bro. That's a steal. Like, Odey has been like this dude that is really hard to sort of pin down and get a good feel for what his skill level is. Like, who's watching Odey Osborne and going, oh yeah, that guy, I'm feeling great about that, right? I don't know. I don't necessarily love that. Tyson Nam's got a wealth of experience. I'm probably just going to stay away from this fight. If I'm being completely honest with you. Gabriel Benitez taking on Charlie Ontiveros. Ontiveros at 11-4. Gabriel Benitez at 22-11. Gabriel Benitez, one, has to make weight, right? If he makes weight, he beats Charlie Ontiveros. I like him by knockout. Pretty simple here. Over and around is at 1.5. I don't want to, just in case Charlie somehow is able to wrestle his way through a round, I don't want to put the pressure on Gabe, but I'm going to take him by KO. I'll take him by KO. I'll look for a KO sub prop just to kind of give myself a little bit wiggle room, but Benitez by KO is at a -135. Benitez inside the distance at a -188. That's probably what I'll end up playing. Probably what I'm going to end up playing there. All right. Then we've got Martin Bidet taking on Lucas Brzezinski. Brzezinski at 8-1. Bidet at 10-1. Dude, Bidet, gigantic head, right? Just a monster of a melon on this dude. Came out, got the win last time over Chris Barnett. Win before that in a contender series over Lorenzo Hood, taking on Brzezinski. Brzezinski, big boy himself. With a win his last time out over Michael Pawlarski. Look, I'm gonna take Bidet, but we've got big boys here. We've got high penchant for finishes. If you're looking at Brzezinski, you're looking at 8 wins coming via you know, I'm sorry, 7 wins coming via finish by KO and submission. The dude loves to finish fights, right? So 7 out of his 8 wins have come inside the distance. And then Bidet, obviously, 8, out of his 10 coming inside the distance. This, I feel like we can definitely play the old heavyweight moniker of let's go ahead and take heavyweights inside the distance. You've got Bidet at a decent favorite here at -265, Brzezinski at a +225. I'm never going to doubt or question somebody that takes a heavyweight at plus money because they're big boys, big girls. You know, well, there's not any women's heavyweight fights, but I mean, regionally there are. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Anybody that's on a heavyweight at plus money, I'm not going to tell you you're dumb. It's big boys playing high stakes punch face. Why would I say that that's a bad play? Just likelihoods change, right? But I'll go inside the distance here. I'm just going to go inside the distance with this fight. I don't feel the need to get too fancy with it. Fight doesn't go to decision. It is a -188. I'll take that. I will take that all day. All right. Lupe Godinha is taking on Angela Hill. Angela Hill at 13-12. Lupe at 8-2. Normally, you guys know this, I will take Lupe Godinez or I'll take Angela Hill more times than not because Jake didn't put the odds in for this one. Or did he? Yeah, he did. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Lupi Godinez, or Angela Hill, I will take more often than not because she has a way to find scorecards, right? And she puts herself in a position to win fights. She's like this weird, she's like the anti-Nina or anti-Courtney Casey, right? Where Angela Hill likes to put herself in split decisions that she wins, where Courtney Casey puts herself in split decisions that she loses. But you know me, I'm on Lupi Godinez. I love Lupi's style. I will take Lupi at the minus 300 here. Now, Dale, what are you doing? Why would you do this? Right? That's so dumb. Why would you do that? You've said time and time again, no woman deserves to be that big of a favorite in a fight. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I will eat crow on Saturday if need be, but I'm going to put a parlay together with Lupi. I talked to Trey earlier today and he said, be real with me, dude. How many of your parlays have Lupi in them? And I said, all of them. I said, all of them, every single one has Lupi in it, which isn't all the way true, but it's close. It's very close. It's very close. No, I like Lupi a lot. I like her in this fight. I just love a chick that like goes in and sacrifices mind and body and throws smarts out the window for the sake of action. And is well-rounded to boot. So, all right. And let's see here. We've got featured prelim. I think that's it, right? We've got the featured prelim. I think that's all we got. Bruno Silva taking on Gerard Meerschaert. Gerard Meerschaert at 34-15. Bruno Silva at 22-7. What I love about this fight is that you can essentially play the style here. You don't have to play the fighter. And what I mean by that is if you're on Gerard Meerschaert, there is no other play on the planet Earth that should interest you than Gerard Meerschaert by submission. He will 100% to the bank not beat Bruno Silva via decision. He will either submit him or he will get knocked out in the process. That is it. That's it. He is not going to win a decision. Now, that being said, Bruno Silva, he is not worth playing unless you play him by knockout. He's not going to submit Gerard Meerschaert, and he's not going to beat him by decision because Gerard does not have the cardio to go three rounds, and he gets hurt in every single fight. So you can literally just play the style. You don't have to play the fighter. You just don't have to do it. So Meerschaert, right? Silva by KO. TKO is at minus 160. And Meerschaert, let's see here, Meerschaert by submission, plus 525. If you're on Gerard Meerschaert, there is no reason to play him at plus 240. Play him at the plus 525 because he's not going to win the decision. He's not going to knock out Bruno Silva. He's definitely not going to do that. He's 100% not going to do that. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Gerard Meerschaert knocks out Bruno Silva. I'll Venmo somebody that comments on this YouTube video. I'll Venmo somebody $50. I will Venmo somebody that comments on this video. If you comment on this video and Gerard Meerschaert knocks out Bruno Silva, I'll Venmo you $50. That is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Gerard Meerschaert by sub. Bruno Silva by TKO KO. That's it. That's it. You play the style here. You play the style. All right. Let me run through these. Let me go win-loss here from top to bottom. Okay. I'm seeing something about Jason Witt, Josh Quinlan getting moved to this one. If that's the case, I'm on Quinlan, but I haven't seen it pop up on ESPN's like official card, so that's why I don't have it added tonight. All right. Lipsky, Cachoeira, I'm on Cachoeira. Quinlan, Witt, I'm on Quinlan. Blackshear, Zalal, I'm on Blackshear. Godinez versus Hill, I'm on Godinez. Nam versus Osborne, I'm on Osborne. Ontiveros versus Benitez, I'm on Benitez. Brzezinski versus Boudet, I'm on Boudet. Lucindo versus Jaraguy, I'm on Lucindo. Calvillo versus Nunez, I'm on Nunez. Mirzakhanov versus Clark, I'm on Clark. Silva versus Mearshart, I'm on Silva. Landwehr versus Onama, I'm on Onama. Cruz versus Vera, I'm on Cruz. And that is everything. That being said, it's been a weird couple weeks. Appreciate everybody that continues to watch, tune into the show, the whole nine. Since we got garbage time here for a minute, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I appreciate those of you that have tuned into the live show for the better half of 2 years now, right? But I am probably realistically going to move to a pre-recorded format unless it is a pay-per-view or I have a guest to sort of sit here and dedicate a 9:30 time slot on a Tuesday. That doesn't always work well for me. That was primarily a byproduct of what Trey had going on West Coast than what I've got going on here. It's almost 11 o'clock here on a Tuesday. It's late for me. I would almost rather record on like Sunday after an event so I could do more talking about what we just witnessed the night prior than waiting until Tuesday night to do it. So probably, I'm just throwing this out here, probably moving forward. Video is obviously still going to be available, but it's going to come in like a pre-recorded format, which will allow me to edit a little bit more, allow me to do some stuff, unless we have a pay-per-view or a live guest, and then or a guest, in which case we'll do a live show, because obviously interaction is key. I see, let's see here. When will this be available, podcast or YouTube for repost? It'll be available, audio will be available within by 11 o'clock tonight, within the hour. YouTube, it just has to process. It'll be available shortly thereafter. So, but yeah, it's just something I'm thinking about. You know, I've got to, without having another person sitting here talking to me for the extension of the show, it's a different kind of beast, right? Like we've got to, there's adjustments that need to be made for stuff. I'm never going to stop. And I will say this right now. I'm never going to stop doing the show. Never going to stop doing the show. Weekly, you will get content from me every single week. You have my word. I'm not going to stop doing the show. I love this. I love doing this. And I said this when Trey left. But the live show is kind of a weird spot. So unless we have a guest, unless it's a pay-per-view, big card, whatever, I might move to a pre-recorded. Might. Just something I'm thinking about. Full disclosure, it's me talking to myself, microphone in a room. I might move into a pre-recorded format. We'll see. So until then, appreciate everybody that continues to support the show. If you don't already do so, follow us everywhere at Punchlist MMA. You can shoot me an email, chat at Punchlist MMA. You shoot me a message on Instagram, all that stuff. You guys know how to get a hold of me at this point. If you're new here, thank you. Welcome. Hello. If you're old here, thank you. I love you. Thanks for hanging out. If you go on Apple, if you go on iTunes, there's a lot of people with a lot. I would say their audiences, depending on the median, do a lot more numbers. Like YouTube, there's guys that do more YouTube numbers than me. But audio-wise, those of you that listen audio-wise, you kill it. You just kill it, you know. And you go on Apple, you go on Spotify. I don't know who's doing better numbers. I don't know who's getting more reviews. I appreciate that big time. I appreciate that. Every 5-star review, every Spotify sub, I can see all of you guys, and I appreciate you tenfold. So, if you enjoyed the interview with Haley, if you like what Haley's about, give her a follow on Instagram, right? At All Hail MMA. Shoot her a DM. Tell her you saw her on our show. You saw her on my show. Tell her, you know, wish her luck on Tuesday. All that stuff helps big time. Big time. And then the better relationship we get the athletes, put me in contact with other people, that we can start that dialogue and see whether or not somebody I want to talk to long format on the show. So all that helps tenfold. Best way to support the show is by supporting the show sponsors. Please feel free to visit them. And yeah, like, subscribe, share, all that stuff. Love you guys. Be good to each other. And I will see you on Saturday night for the fights, UFC San Diego this weekend. Take care. Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.